Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. This time we're continuing to address the question, there is a transgender person at work. My employer is requiring people to call this person by their preferred name and pronouns. What should I do?
Okay, so last time we got into this, but before we do that, you've just come back from having a baby.
Yes.
And I just wanted to allow people to hear some about this, because what was interesting is, the day that we posted the episode of your testimony, mm-hmm. you talked on that episode about, we're probably several weeks out,
yep.
And you were actually having the baby that day.
Yes, she came earlier than expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's funny, Shelby brought that up to me. She said she was listening to the episode when I said that, and she laughed, because at that point I had had the baby May 24th instead of June 2nd. So.
Yes.
Yeah, I was always told babies would come late on your first pregnancy. Well, not ours, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everything's going great. I can't believe it. It's starting to settle in that I'm a dad. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, when she was first born, I was so tired, and I just looked over there, and I was like, I need to sleep. But is that really my baby? I couldn't believe it.
Now, people may not know, but how long was your labor? And I shouldn't say your labor. Let's give some credit to your wife.
Yeah, it was my wife's. Yeah. It was about 30 hours, give or take a little bit.
30 hours.
Yes. It was long. I will say, though, it kind of went by quick. Maybe not for Ashley.
Yeah.
But not for Ashley.
If she was in the room here, she might kind of strangle you briefly.
But it was weird. Just the hours were flying by. It was long, though. It was definitely long. But when you hear, 30-hour labor, you're like, wow. But it was, like I said, it went faster than I expected, but we're just glad she's here. She's doing well. Mm-hmm. She's already pretty much sleeping through the night. She has to be woken to feed, and that's it.
So she's a week old, right?
Yes,
and she's sleeping through the night. That's the kind of information you might not want to put on a podcast.
Yeah, I should have said that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. No, but praise the Lord for that, because now you'll probably want to have more than one. That's a good thing to have a really easy first one.
Yes. Yeah, it's awesome. I can't believe there's a little thing that looks like me in this world now. And
a little lamb.
A little lamb. Yep, I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is so great. And congratulations again.
Thank you.
So thrilled to see this happen in your life. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
All right, getting back to this question. So last time we talked, we laid a little bit of the groundwork and then asked the actual question, should we call this person by the name that they want to be called and the pronouns they want to be called? So I answered briefly, yes, I think we should, and gave my reasons for that. So now we're ready, I guess, to move on to some of the objections.
Yeah, what would you say to the objection that by using the opposite pronouns, you're endorsing their lifestyle?
Well, first, I would say that if that transgendered person thinks that is that if they think that when I use the name that they ask me to use, that I'm endorsing their lifestyle, they're reading an awful lot into that, especially if my employer has told me to do it. That's reading an awful lot into that. Even if it's not a work situation, it's still reading an awful lot into that. I'm just calling that person what they've asked me to call them. That just seems like a courteous thing to do. Now, some Christians would say, on the outside of this, they're not the transgender person, but they're watching and they're saying you're endorsing that person's lifestyle. Well, you're reading a lot into that too. All I'm doing is calling that person what they want to be called.
And even if they do think that immediately, if your goal is to build a relationship with them, draw closer to them, through conversation, they're going to eventually know that that's not what you're doing. You're not buying into that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You're showing them kindness.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They're eventually going to know that I don't endorse it. And for the sake of gaining an opportunity to share the full gospel with them, I'm willing for them to think that briefly.
Sure.
I don't think they will. And if they ask me, I would say, no, I'm not endorsing anything. But I'm willing for them to think that. That's an assumption that they're making. It's not something that I'm creating. That they're making an assumption. But they will eventually know that I don't endorse it, but it's going to be after they've seen that I love them and I care for them. So it will be after I've destroyed that disagreement equals hatred idea, because they will see that I love them, that I've built a relationship with them. So then when they hear me saying that I disagree with their lifestyle, there's going to be this cognitive dissonance. They're not going to be able to, in their own mind, think, this person disagrees with me, they hate me. They won't be able to do that. Because they know that I love them and care mm-hmm. for them, there may be some confusion, there may be some hurt, but they're not going to be able to say that I hate them.
Right.
And they're definitely going to listen to what I say more than they would if right out of the gate I said, I'm sorry, I can't call you that name because I disagree with your lifestyle. Now, if I never get to the gospel, they won't know that I don't endorse their lifestyle. So it's crucial that I get there. But I want to overtly love them first. But anyway, getting back to the objection, I'm not endorsing anything by using that name. I'm just calling them by the name that they're asking me to call them.
Sure. So what about the objection by using the opposite pronouns? You're lying about who they are.
Okay. This is an objection that I've heard from somebody that I respect a tremendous amount. I just love this person, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people who would say this too, that if you use that opposite pronoun, you're lying about who they are. I just disagree with that. Lying is deception, and I'm not deceiving anybody. Everybody around that person knows what they really are. That transgender person knows what they really are. I'm not deceiving anyone. I'm just calling them what they want to be called. It's as simple as that. I just disagree with that objection. I don't think it's valid.
Sure. Doesn't your wife have some experience with this?
Yeah, she does. My wife, I mentioned Rosaria Butterfield in the last episode. Now, Rosaria Butterfield is not a transgender person, but she was a lesbian befriended by a pastor and his wife and then led to the Lord. Her story is a great example of what I'm talking about here, and that is not immediately going for the sin jugular, so to speak, and ruining an opportunity to share the hope that is in Christ, but rather loving the sinner first and showing compassion, showing them that you love them as you are sharing the gospel. Yeah.
If I could encourage folks, the first half, her book's got two parts. The first mm-hmm. half is her testimony. It's actually a pretty quick read. It's yeah. really helpful in regards to what we're talking about today. So I recommend even if you're going to read just the testimony part, it's really, really
yeah,
is helpful.
You're absolutely right. But I do have an example regarding a transgender person. My wife's childhood best friend is a female who began to transition years ago, took a male name, the whole thing, and it was really hard for Shelby. But her friend was afraid that when Shelby found out, Shelby would reject her and cut her off like all of her other Christian friends did. So she had been cut off by all of the people in her past. This friend of Shelby's had grown up in church and rejected all of that because, once again, horribly abused and goes into this transgender lifestyle. Christians begin to find out about it. They reject her. They reject her. They reject mm-hmm. her. Nobody responds with love in the gospel. And so she was afraid that Shelby was going to do the same thing. But Shelby loved her. I mean, just genuinely loved her dearly. Most folks who know Shelby know that she's not going to be one to compromise the truth for any reason. So she was by no means going to endorse her friend's lifestyle, but Shelby loved her too much to cut her off. And so she decided that this name and pronoun thing was not going to be something that got in the way. So she began calling this lifelong friend by a male name and male pronouns. And she just decided she was going to call her friend what her friend wanted to be called. All along the way, though, she, as Shelby has confirmed her love for this person, she has been very, very open with her about the gospel repeatedly. Shared the gospel with her numerous times, reaches out to her. This person doesn't live anywhere near here, so they correspond over the phone and email and stuff. But her friend knows where Shelby stands regarding the transgender issue. They've talked about it. Her friend knows that Shelby prays for her, that she would be saved and set free from this, because mm-hmm. Shelby tells her this. Now, the reason that she is willing to hear these things from Shelby is because Shelby has convinced her that she loves her. I mean, her friend really believes this about Shelby. And so she's not cutting Shelby off because Shelby hasn't cut her off. She knows that there's a genuine love there. And Shelby tells her that every time they have contact. I love you. I'm praying for you that you would be saved, that you would be set free from this. She will say things to her friend like, I'm not giving up on you.
Wow.
And her friend isn't offended because she knows that Shelby loves her. So Shelby was careful not to needlessly offend her early on. And now Shelby has earned the right to lovingly say whatever she needs to say in putting Jesus in front of this person every time that they interact. So I just think that that's a great way to go. I mean, so I've seen this with my own eyes. This question that we're answering this time is not theoretical to me. I mean, I've seen it work. I've seen it work with my wife doing it this way, and then I've seen many, many other people lose the opportunity to share the gospel with people and help them out of that lifestyle by going straight to, I refuse to call you this name, or I disagree with your lifestyle. You need to repent, without ever crossing the bridge of compassion, so to speak, and convincing that person, I genuinely care about you, and then sharing the gospel with them. So my concern in this whole question is just to communicate passion to these folks for the sake of sharing the gospel with them, because the gospel is their only hope.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, this is actually, Greg, we talked about this, very relevant even to me, where my place of employment does regularly talk about these kind of things, and this is a reality in many workplaces, I'm sure, mm-hmm. coming as well. If I can again recommend Rosaria Butterfield's book, there are things from reading that have carried with me. Mm-hmm. You know, you read a lot of books and a lot of times you forget most of what you read, but there were plenty of things from that book that the Presbyterian, their example, they just loved her. They didn't even invite her to church immediately. They just right. were in her life, loving her, inviting her over. And you kind of read and see how their generosity, their love towards her just kind of broke down barriers and led all the way to the point where she attended church on her own initiative and, you know, led to where she is now. She's converted, yeah. and I think she's married even, and it's a very beautiful story, and it's very helpful.
And you can hear in her narrative of that situation how what she's seeing in them, this is not at all what I thought Christians
yeah.
were.
Absolutely.
You know, that you're seeing in these people, they're destroying that disagreement equals hatred thing.
Yep.
She's seeing that, and that is what allowed the gospel to get in. Now, a lot of people are going to hear us saying that, oh, these people didn't even invite her to church, or And they're immediately going to think, oh, these people are soft on the truth and they're not really concerned, right. or that we're saying here today that we're holding back the truth from these people. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Right.
And if you read that book, you'll see that they were giving her the gospel. They mm-hmm. were sharing truth with her. Just they were doing it while they were loving her and not forcing anything on her.
Right.
And again, I've seen this in my wife's interaction with her friend. There has not been any watering down of truth. There's just been a priority of compassion and love along with that truth that has allowed that communication to continue. And you know, we're prayerful that her friend will be saved and rescued from that lifestyle, as Rosaria Butterfield was. So.
Yeah. Well, this has been a lot of good stuff. I hope it's helpful to others, and it's definitely becoming more and more relevant. So, yeah. Well, until next time.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.